You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A very happy Friday to you all, wherever you may be. It is Friday, February 26th, and it is the Friday edition of the Locked On College Football Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ben Stevens, the host of Locked On Big Ten, joined by my man, Patrick Kahn, the host of Locked On Longhorns, back with us, unlike he was last week, dealing with some things in Texas. He's feeling much better now. Patrick, great to have you back here. Great to be doing this with you. For should we say it? We can't bury the lead, right? We got to just go into it. Should I announce?
Yeah, you go ahead. You don't bury the lead. You just go right into it.
So it's a little bit of a bittersweet day for us, folks, as this will be the final episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast for the time being. We might come back to you in the leading up to the college football season of 2021, but for the time being, we're going to take a break. We might see you in the future, but this will be the last episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast. It is a pleasure, though, that we get to end it together, Patrick Kahn. That I can say for sure.
You know, I'm just happy that, for one, I have heat, I have electricity, I have internet back. I mean, because this last 2 weeks has been nuts, you know, fixing pipes breaking because we had this all-time worst storm ever roll through Texas. But, you know, I'm excited to be back, like you said, on air, doing something, talking college football. And I think you agree, for the final episode, we need to do a preview show of next year. You know, kind of let's push aside all of our power rankings that we had planned on doing throughout the offseason because we found out that they were no longer going to do the Locked On College Football Podcast as it currently sits. So we're going to dive right into it. I think we should talk Heisman, really. I mean, the Heisman's always the fun. You know, everybody loves talking about the Heisman, and everybody's got their odds. And I know BetOnline.ag has their odds, so I figure in this first segment, Ben, let's talk about the people who kind of the front runners, and then we'll give our locked on lock as far as who we think is going to take home the John Heisman Memorial Trophy this next coming season.
It's the John Heisman Memorial Trophy. That's the full name for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, it was named after John Heisman, former Georgia Tech head coach, who actually was very he was a big reason why the forward pass became legal way back in the early 1900s. He had to get Walter Camp to officially approve it, you know, and he died of pneumonia. So in a way to kind of pay tribute to him, they changed it from the Downtown Athletic Club Trophy to the John Heisman Memorial Trophy, as it is now known today. But most people just call it the Heisman. They don't know the name behind it, but there's a little history right here on the Locked On College Football Podcast.
I mean, that's incredible information that will take people through this long winter until the next time you hear from us on the Locked On College Football Podcast leading in to the 2021 college football season. That's great information. And like Patrick said, because you might not hear from us for a while, we got to look ahead and give you everything you could possibly need in one show to rely on, at least the base level of it, so it keeps you going in the college football mind until we get to the next season. So, yeah, let's look at the Heisman Trophy, shall we? And as BetOnline.ag sees it, we've talked about this before, the top five Heisman odds as it stands right now for next year: Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma at plus 350, Bryce Young from Alabama at plus 550, JT Daniels from Georgia at plus 700, DJ Uiagalelei at plus 800 from Clemson, and Sam Howell right there in the fifth spot at plus 1000. Now, Patrick, as you're looking at that, I have to lean with the guy from OU. I have to lean with Spencer Rattler, who ended 2020 in such a promising way after struggling in his first year starting in Norman. But as we know, Lincoln Riley churns out Heisman winners. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, that's the other guy I was thinking of. They do things really well. Jalen Hurts was in the conversation, right? They are really good and very prolific on that offensive side of the ball, and I think it will be the case again. So my money is with the favorite right now in Spencer Rattler at plus 350. If I had to go somewhere else, I would probably look at DJ Uiagalelei at plus 800 because not only do I love saying his name, Clemson is going to be a factor in this next college football season. And if they are performing well offensively, DJ Uiagalelei will be the reason why.
You know, I think I lean Spencer Rattler for a variety of reasons, like you just said. You talked about what Lincoln Riley does, right? And this was the first, like this past year, there were growing pains, obviously, and we saw those, right? Very early on in the season, it was the first quarterback under Lincoln Riley who didn't have any starting experience elsewhere before becoming the starter at Oklahoma. As you always know, with a young quarterback, you expect some of those growing pains. Now, some things that kind of hindered them last year. They lost their running back, Kennedy Brooks. He opted out of the season. They went with Ramondre Stevenson, but he didn't come in until later on in the year. After a suspension, they had a young running back in TJ Pledger, another young running back in Seth McGowan. Well, going into this next season, they're going to have a healthy Austin Stogner. They're going to have Marvin Mims. They're going to have Kennedy Brooks. They brought in Eric Gray, who was the one of the top transfers in the country. Give me, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take that 350. Give me Spencer Rattler, because I think in year two, you're going to see the growth, and that's why I look at it. So if I got to have a lock, he's my lock. Now, my dark horse, going back to my roots.
Yep.
Going with B. Bijan Robinson. I think with Steven Sarkisian coming into Texas, if they use Bijan in the way that they used a Najee Harris, who, don't get me wrong, Najee Harris was not as highly touted coming into the season. He was only a four-star prospect. We're talking about the number one running back in the country when you talk about Bijan Robinson. And I think if he can be used in that way, getting him the ball in the passing game, running, give me Bijan.
I was going to say, you might have gone back to your roots even deeper. What about Tyler Shuck, the transfer from Oregon going to Texas Tech? Will he be able to play next year now that I'm saying this?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the starter, personally. When we're talking about Texas Tech here, I struggle to see how he's going to fit in the offense, but you have to remember it's Sonny Cumbie who's now running the offense.
Right.
And not Wells' guy that he had in there, David Yost, who got fired in this offseason. But, yeah, Taylor Shuck, I mean, that was a surprise to me that he would go to Texas Tech of all places. But he's going to be able to start immediately. And after graduating, he has 3 years of eligibility left that he could use down there in Lubbock. They've got some issues. They've got to figure out who their wide receivers are. Their top two wide receivers entered into the transfer portal. So who's he going to be throwing to? But you look at the guy, he's talented. He's listed as a pro-style quarterback, but he's dual threat. You saw him run all over the place when he got the opportunity there in Oregon. So it'll be interesting to watch that. I hope that he makes Texas Tech a little bit better because they don't know Alan Bowman transferred out. They have Henry Columbia, who transferred in from Utah State. They also have a young, talented freshman quarterback, Baron Morton, who's their top recruit this last class. I'm excited to see what Texas Tech can do. I just don't know if they're going to do enough to really get into the mid-level of that Big 12 conference. But I think for him to be a Heisman contender, he got to be top two.
I bring up Tyler Shuck because as betonline.ag saw it when he was at least playing in an Oregon jersey, he was at plus 4,000. My dark horse is another guy at plus 4,000, a quarterback from my neck of the woods, a quarterback that I am the founder and CEO of his Heisman campaign. That would be Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback for Indiana. Michael Penix for Heisman Club. I'm the founder and president of it. I think that if Michael Penix Jr. can recover from the torn ACL that he suffered this past year against Maryland, he might lead this Indiana team that returned a lot offensively. You have Ty Freifogel back. They have some very talented wide receivers out there with Miles Marshall as well. Peyton Hendershot, the talented tight end. They can do some things with moving in a new running back. Their offensive coordinator, Nick Sheridan, is back, although their defensive coordinator, Kane Womack, left. If Indiana can continue the momentum they built up in 2020 and they play very well in the Big Ten Conference, Michael Penix Jr., plus 4,000. Talk about dark horse. So our two locked on locks. I think we both agree. Spencer Rattler, plus 350. You're locked on, or you're underdog, dark horse special, if you will. Bijan Robinson from Texas. I also go my neck of the woods and take Michael Penix Jr. plus 4,000 for my dark horse special. So all of these are coming from our friends at betonline.ag. All of these odds, even as we look ahead to the 2021 college football season, if we're not here, BetOnline will remain. It is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over at the moment, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline has everything you need. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus bonus on your first deposit. This is a college football podcast, Patrick Kahn, but I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a sneak preview here to a game that is happening tonight in the Big Ten Conference in college basketball. Purdue, -1.5 on the road against Penn State. Hammer the Boilermakers. That is a spread coming from our friends at betonline.ag. Again, put in the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So on this final Locked On College Football podcast for the foreseeable future, yes, I know, sad, we're still covering everything you might need to know heading into the 2021 college football season. But what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. Back here on the Locked On College Football podcast, the final episode of it, the Friday episode. For this time being, we still keep up the high vibes heading into your weekend. And as we say goodbye for the time being, it is Patrick Kahn, the host of Locked On Longhorns, Ben Stevens, who is speaking currently, the host of Locked On Big Ten. We just went over some of our Heisman picks for next year because we need to give you the base layer of what you can expect for 2021 college football. Now I think it's time to talk the college football playoff and some of the teams that will be contending for a national title in the year 2021. Patrick Kahn, in my mind, it circles around the same five teams. It's going to be Alabama. It's going to be Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, and I think Ohio State. I think those five teams will be the pool that we pull from to have the final four of the college football playoff. Am I wrong in thinking such a thing this early on?
I don't think so. I mean, Alabama, you know, you lose a five-star, you plug in another five-star. You know, they have talent all over the place. It's going to be interesting because essentially Nick Saban's having to replace his entire staff.
Right.
They were gouged. I mean, they were raided. Obviously, his offensive coordinator left. He's at Texas. He took his offensive line coach with him, Kyle Flood. You know, he took Jeff Banks. I mean, he lost a lot. I mean, even his analysts were leaving, you know, to take jobs elsewhere. So, you know, when you looked at that, it was like, okay, well, they're taking this guy and this guy. So I think, you know, it might not be the level of Alabama we saw last year, but even a notch down is still probably one of the best teams in college football. I mean, as long as Nick Saban is there running his program with those players, I'm not worried about it. Now, beyond that, you know, you talked about Clemson. You know, they're having to replace a Trevor Lawrence, but they still have Justin Ross. They're probably going to plug in another.
Who's their quarterback? What's his
DJ
name?
DJ Ungulele. Something like that. I don't know. I'm not doing it. You know, even this.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
You
that guy. DJ Alphabet Soup. You know, so they have him. And, you know, we saw him last year against Notre Dame and a game that they went to overtime with. And you know, I still think he's very capable of being it. I mean, you saw the arm that he has. I mean, this guy's got arm talent for days. Then you look at Georgia. I don't know. I can't buy into Georgia. Like, do I think they're going to be up there? Do I think they're going to be up there? Yes. I mean, let's be honest. There's an SEC bias for good reason. I mean, they consistently put out national champions. But Georgia's not a team that I buy into because I don't think that they can get over Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the big thing because, you know, some of the teams that we talked about last year, you know, I know some people were like, oh, Texas A&M. Texas A&M's got to break in a new quarterback, and it's the same reason why I don't have Texas up there. They got to break in a new quarterback who's going to be starting. Now, there's a lot other teams out there. Oklahoma, yes, I think Oklahoma's the top four. Like, if you want my lock, I think Oklahoma runs the table this year. I don't think they're going to have a loss until they get to the college football playoff. The big question is, can they win a playoff game? That's what I don't know, and it's all going to matter on who the matchup is. So I don't want to get too deep into it, but, yeah, Oklahoma's there. It's just, I think the final spot is going to come down to Georgia versus Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Can C.J. Stroud do enough to get them into the playoff? I think that C.J. Stroud and everybody that they have, I mean, talk about some of those wide receivers. Chris Olave is back. Garrett Wilson from my neck of the woods down in Texas. You know, they come down and get plenty of Texas players.
Emeka Ogbuka?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, they've got players everywhere, and they have talent at wide receiver. Offensively, I'm not worried about Ohio State. My biggest questions might be who's going to replace, you know, Browning at linebacker. How are they going to? I think he also lost Burner. I think is the other one. You know, what are they going to do at linebacker? How, you know, how do they replace some of their guys on defense? I'm not. Again, Ohio State is like Alabama. They're just going to keep churning guys out there, which it all it comes down to the development, and you know how we look at them. So ultimately, if you want my final four right now.
I do.
Alabama, my number one seed. Clemson's going to be number two. Oklahoma, your number three seed. And then I'm going to go with Ohio State at number four. I think Georgia, much like Texas A&M last year, does enough to be in the conversation, but it falls just shy of getting into that Final Four.
If it sounds like Patrick and I are talking about the same old teams, well, that's because the college football playoff breeds the same old teams each and every year. In the 7-year history, we have now had the CFP a part of our college football season. 22 of the 28 available spots have been taken by Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, and then add in Notre Dame. 22 of the 28 by those six same programs. So yes, it is chalk, but it's going to be the same thing again. And the reason we talk about these five teams, Notre Dame a little bit down right now at plus 2,800, but as betonline.ag sees it, Alabama is the favorite to win the national championship at plus 350, Clemson at plus 450, Georgia tied with them at plus 450, Ohio State plus 650, and Oklahoma at plus 750. Then there's a far drop off to Texas A&M at plus 2,000. So those five teams substantially more in the know, more likely to reach the college football playoff and contend for a national championship. It's interesting that we're talking about two teams, Alabama and Ohio State, that played in 2020's national championship game, both breaking in new quarterbacks, but both expected to still be able to produce a national championship caliber team in the next season. CJ Stroud for the Buckeyes, Bryce Young. I trust your gut, Ben, for Alabama. I agree with Patrick, though. I don't know if my order is all that different. If it is, I'll just do it for heaven's sake. Alabama at one. Clemson at one. Alabama at two. Ohio State three. And then I think Oklahoma at four, too. I'm not as sold on Georgia as other people are. They lost a decent amount defensively. JT Daniels played great for the final three games of the year for UGA. Does he do the same thing in 2021? You would think, okay, at least that's a known commodity as opposed to Alabama and Ohio State as we are discussing them right now. But I don't think they get to that level. I have more faith in what Oklahoma returns in the slate in the Big 12, like you mentioned, Patrick Kahn, much easier in favor of those Sooners than anything Georgia will contend with in the SEC. So as I see it, Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Ohio State 3, Oklahoma 4. Your 4 was again what?
I went number 1. Alabama, number 2, Clemson, number 3, Oklahoma, number 4, Ohio State. You know, but here's the interesting part, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, but what about the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, or what about the Cincinnati Bearcats? Here's my thing. Last year would have been the year for it, and I say this because last year we didn't have any non-conference. The Big 12 played one non-conference game. The SEC didn't play a single one. Big Ten didn't play a single one. Pac-12 didn't play a single one. ACC, I think, played one. You know, so you're not going to have – I mean, you're going to have more games, and some of these teams are going to play, you know, the tougher schedules that they will probably lose those games. And when I'm talking about the group of fives. Those are the guys you're looking to be the playoff busters. And so when I look at them, I don't think so. You're going to see – maybe a power five team hop up there in the rankings, top six, top seven. I'm not a believer in them, and I've said this plenty, but I could see Iowa State jumping up there. Why? Because they return 95% of their team. Mm-hmm. You know, so they have all the experience that they had last year as they marched towards the Fiesta Bowl and beat Oregon. You know, so I could see an Iowa State, maybe a Texas, depending on what their quarterback does. You know, so I could see some of those teams popping up out of the Big 12. SEC, can Auburn get back up there? What does Brian Harsin do? Is he able to get enough out of Bo Nix to make some noise in the SEC? What is year two of Mike Leach? Can Harbaugh get Michigan out of the dumpster? Can Franklin get Penn State back to where they were a year ago, you know, prior to last year, because they were a highly touted team where they – preseason top 15 team last year?
Top 10, number 9 in the country.
Right, number 9. And then they fell off completely, don't you know, for whatever reason.
Right.
Oh, can Franklin get them back? Because then that's another Big Ten team to contend with Ohio State, North Carolina. Can they take advantage of Clemson not having Trevor Lawrence? I don't know, but I know they believe in Sam Howell. They are also losing a lot with their running backs and their wide receiver situation. It'd be interesting. Can the Pac-12 do anything? That's my big question. The Pac-12 would be the conference I'm going to watch because I want to know what happens with Oregon. What happens with USC? You know, some of those teams have that Washington. You know, how's that Washington defense going to look? Because they just took their defensive coordinator who made that defense into what it was. You know, so those are some teams that we're going to be watching. But, you know, when you look at it, like you said, it's the 22 of the same 28 team spot since 2014. So that's why we expect it. And the guys running the college football playoffs, they like going with what's familiar. The big question is, will they have that conversation this offseason? Will they expand the college football playoffs? My Locked On Lock of the Week is spoiler, no, they won't.
That's a great Locked On Lock. I want to touch on something you said there. We'll get to it in our final segment of the final episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast for the foreseeable future. We'll talk some long shots for the CFP, and then we'll crown a national champion to round out this show, the final Locked On College Football Podcast you will have in your life for at least a little bit of time until we get to the 2021 college football season. That all comes up next. So college football, still a thing very much in the future. College basketball in the thick of this season, and the NBA also rolling right now. So go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all the sides of the story with the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to the Rejecting the Screen podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. Back here on the Locked On College Football podcast, one final segment of our final episode of the Locked On CFP podcast. For the time being, I am Ben Stevens, the host of Locked On Big Ten, joined by always my co-host, my partner in crime, a man I will miss doing this show with, Patrick Kahn, the host of Locked On Longhorns. In the previous segment, we were talking about the teams that will be in the CFP in the 2021 season. I wanted to talk about something that Patrick mentioned and some of the long shots. You talked about the group of five. As our friends at betonline.ag see it, there's only one group of five teams listed in their favorites to win a national championship next season, and that is the Cincinnati Bearcats at plus 5,000. Desmond Ridder back, but as Patrick mentioned, this is the point I want to harp on a little bit. If it wasn't going to happen last year in the weirdest year of college football we've ever seen, it's not going to happen this year. And that's a true travesty because then the CFP has become more of an invitational than it is truly an open invite to get there or open opportunity to do so. Because like Patrick mentioned, it's a very interesting dichotomy in my mind that the non-conference can hurt the power of the group of five and then not really even help them at the same time. What I mean by that is last year, when the CFP was going through and deciding how to even rank teams, let alone get in contention for the CFP Final Four, they were pointing to the fact that they didn't play as strong of a schedule as these SEC or Big Ten teams or Big 12 teams did, that they didn't have those non-conference opportunities, and that wasn't due to their own fault. They couldn't play them because most conferences were playing conference only or only had one game, and they probably weren't going to have that one game against the world beaters of Cincinnati or the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina. And then this year, when you have those non-conference opportunities, and Cincinnati has won against some team in the Big Ten, I should know this. Who is it? I'll think about it in a little bit. Maybe Indiana. I think it is Indiana. Regardless, when you give the group of five then an opportunity to play a non-conference game against these Power Five schools, a lot of times they don't win those games and they're not favored to win those games. And then that's also a red mark against the committee when they look at it to decide the college football playoff when all is said and done. So it's pretty much, you know, do what you can, but best of luck, group of five, because it's not going to happen.
It's really not. And, you know, unfortunate, and one of the teams last year, obviously, the Chanticleers got off to a good start with their victory over the red-hot Kansas Jayhawk. Oh, wait.
They're not very good.
How about Louisiana Lafayette defeated Iowa State, who went on to play in a New Year's Six Bowl, but they didn't care about that team.
Right.
This year, Lafayette, they get another shot at a Big 12 team. They're going to play Texas to kick off the season. You know, so they're going to get an opportunity, but if they were to win that game, and let's say Texas finished 8-4, Texas wasn't as good this year, so they're going to, you know, it's going to be a negative thing on Lafayette's schedule. So it really doesn't matter. If you're looking on betonline.ag, I say steer clear of the group of five because you're not going to win. No. It's unfortunate. I mean, it's not really a true college football playoff in the fact that, like you said, it's invite only, right? I mean, yeah. It's like trying to go play golf at Augusta. Oh, you're not a member? Sorry, you're not getting in. You know, so I think the teams that we listed are the teams that are going to be there, and it's unfortunate because I really like a Cincinnati. I really like a Coastal Carolina. Could they get into a New Year's Six Bowl? Yes, I think they can. And we've seen it. It's just a matter of can they get into the playoff? And that's, again, until they expand this to at least eight teams, I don't think we're ever going to see a group of five team make it unless a lot of the Power Five are down at the same time. But even then, they're going to put in two SEC teams or two ACC teams. We've seen it year in and year out.
Right. And the CFP also does things for television ratings. That draws eyeballs. That draws huge ad revenue. It's a business at the end of the day, and it's sad. We were talking before about some long shots. I mentioned Cincinnati there at plus 5,000. I agree with Patrick, though. Don't put any money on a group of five team. All the other long shots, though, you mentioned Iowa State before the break. I would say that's where I look at plus 2,500. Everybody else, I'm like, I don't know. Nothing really calls out to me as I'm looking at this right now. There will, of course, be a few teams in the 2021 college football season that make a leap, that take a jump, and make me eat my words right now, but nothing that really stands out to me. So, Patrick Kahn, as we finish out this final segment of our final episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast, let's crown a national champion in the year 2021. Let's say who plays in the national championship game, who versus who, and who emerges victorious. Let's start with you.
I think we are getting a repeat of last season. I'm going to go with Ohio State, Alabama one more time. I think Stroud, I think he's a very talented quarterback, and he's holding the seat warm for Quinn Ewers next year.
Ooh.
Not a bad call. Not a bad call, right? But I think Ohio State does enough. I worry about because they – while their quarterback is going to be inexperienced, the rest of the team isn't.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of where a Clemson matchup versus Ohio State is going to be very interesting. We saw what they did to him last year. How does that look in year two, you know, in this matchup where there's not a Trevor Lawrence? You know, I'll give Ryan Day the ups on that one. So I'm going to go Alabama, Ohio State one more time, but I'm not betting against Alabama. I'm going to say Alabama wins this with Bryce Young at quarterback and all of those talented players that they have all over that team. So I know I'm making the boring pick here, but I'm going to go with Alabama over Ohio State.
It's not much more boring than mine. I'm going to say Clemson and Ohio State as well. I also believe in C.J. Stroud. I mainly believe in Ryan Day as one of the best play callers in all of college football. And like you mentioned, has so much returning around him, both Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Master Teague, everybody back. I need to look into more about what they return on the offensive line. I think they lost a couple like Thayer Munford, but they should be okay there. And defensively, I expect an improvement for Kerry Coombs' team because they had a lot of inexperience in the secondary. Yes, they lose Sean Wade, but Seven Banks had a lot of playing experience last year. Josh Proctor at the safety position. They got a lot returning on the defensive line, at least. Zach Harrison will now be a junior. Tyreek Smith is back. Haskell Garrett is back. So that should be the anchor of the Ohio State defense that I think will be good again in 2021. And I have Clemson because I'm a believer in DJ Uiagalelei. I believe in what Clemson does offensively. Brian Brisi will be a sophomore. He is one of the most talented defensive linemen in all of the country. He is back. Will James Skalski be back for another year? Maybe. Who knows? He just keeps showing up on campus in Clemson, South Carolina. So I have Clemson and Ohio State. That would work out well with how I seeded things too, because I had Clemson 1, Bama 2, Ohio State 3. So I think the Buckeyes beat Bama in the CFP. I think Clemson beats Oklahoma in the other CFP semifinal. And then Clemson and Ohio State. And of course, I'm Big Ten Ben. So we're going to say it. The Ohio State Buckeyes are the national champions of the college football universe in the year 2021. Any closing thoughts from you, Patrick Kahn, as we wrap up our final episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast for the time being?
Oh, just that, you know, it's been a wild ride. It's been a fun ride. You know, unfortunately, it came to an end before we were ready for it, too. I mean, like you said, we had plans and things that we wanted to discuss and go over. Unfortunately not, but there's always plenty of college football talk going on the Locked On Longhorns podcast. They just got a commitment from Malik Murphy, five-star quarterback. But there's players still talking about they're chasing the Big E. They're chasing Quinn Ewers. They're still going to go after. They're still going to try. So we got you all covered there. I know my man Big Ten Ben Stevens over on the Locked On Big Ten podcast. He's covering football, basketball, baseball. He's got it all. And he's got a lot more to talk about than I do. Why? Because he covers how many teams?
14 in the Big 14? 10, which is interesting. What? And there's 10 in the Big 12. We don't mean that.
The Big 10, 12.
Yeah. That's why we're so united on this podcast. But Patrick's right. It's unfortunate this show is coming to an end, but that does not mean your college coverage, even in college football in the offseason, stops, because all over the Locked On Podcast Network's college channel, each team, each conference show, everybody dives into everything each and every day to keep you updated with the latest movers and shakers as it pertains to your favorite school, your favorite conference, whatever it may be. The Locked On Podcast Network's college channel has you set. So I think for one final time, Patrick Kahn, we do it. He is Patrick Kahn, the host of Locked On Longhorns. I am Ben Stevens, the host of Locked On Big Ten. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy some college basketball in lieu of college football. Patrick Kahn, take us out. Say goodbye.
Hook 'em.
You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.